just awesome what God is doing here at Northbrook. And when I say here at Northbrook, I'm talking about the people. You guys. I'm not just talking about the space. One of the things that's going on, and something I want to give a quick one more praise about, was Missions Conference. It really went well. I appreciate everybody who attended at least a part of it. One thing that was mildly disappointing to me personally, I just want to reach out to you here, is we only had 8 pledge cards that came back. Now maybe you've done your pledge cards and you decided, you know, Lord isn't telling me to give any money right now. That's fine. But I would still, if you and the Lord have made a covenant, sign it and put it in. Say, you know, the Lord is at the very least going to be telling you to be praying for missions, because quite frankly, it's command that we participate in missions. And this part, that either you're going to go, you're going to send, or you're going to support. And one of the ways we support is in prayer. It's not just money that supports. It's prayer, and prayer is vital for our missionaries. And you can put that down. But I would encourage you, if you haven't filled out a pledge card, to do so. We'll keep that up to date. But I will tell you that for the 8 pledges that we did receive, we had $6,040 that have been pledged to date for the 2010 Missions Conference, our Great Commission Fund. That is a reasonable number for that many people from our congregation. So just thank you for those who have pledged, and just seek the Lord's leading in this as you pray and pray about what your part of being part of the Great Commission is supposed to be. Okay, we're going to go to Zephaniah for the next couple of weeks. Between now and when we start up for Christmas stuff, we're going to work our way through the book of Zephaniah, and you're going, Zephaniah who? It's one of those guys called the minor prophets. It's not a, they call them minor just because they're just not as many pages. It's not that what they had to say was of any less importance than the other prophets. The Word of God speaks just as strongly through them. So turn to Zephaniah. That's on page 963 in my Bible. And if you don't have the same one, then it's probably up here on the screen behind me. I'm going to read Zephaniah chapter 1, the first 13 verses. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, during the reign of Josiah of Ammon, king of Judah. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both men and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. The wicked will only have heaps of rubble when I cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. I will cut off from this place every remnant of Baal, the names of pagan and the idolatrous, priests, those who bow down on the roofs to worship the starry hosts, those who bow down and swear by the Lord, and who also swear by Molech. Those who turn back from following the Lord and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of Him, be silent before the Sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those He has invited. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's sons and all those clad in foreign clothes. On that day, I will punish all who avoid stepping on the threshold, who fill the temples of their gods with violence and deceit. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will go up from the fish gate. wailing from the north quarter, and a loud crash from the hills. Wail, you who live in the market district. All your merchants will be wiped out. All who trade with silver will be ruined. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. Their wealth will be plundered, their houses demolished. They will build houses, but not live in them. They will plant vineyards, but not drink the wine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit now to give us a deeper understanding of your word, to show us how we can apply what is said here through your prophet to us today. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach, you would speak through me to encourage your people. That each one who hears the words I speak would be encouraged and blessed, because they would be your words. It would be your truth that is presented, not man's. Father, encourage us each one. Show us how we can live according to your will. Show us, Lord, how we can best be children of the living God. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have this introduction to Zephaniah to explain to us just who is this guy. And he goes back four generations, which is kind of weird in explaining who he is, because none of the other prophets really give us that kind of a detailed thing. But the interesting thing is he goes back to Hezekiah, who was a king. And he's placed during the time of Josiah, another king. Now, the interesting thing about both Hezekiah and Josiah is they were both reformers. You see, you might recognize Hezekiah's parents. They weren't of the best. King Ahab, Queen Jezebel, that's his folks. He came in after them and cleaned up shop. See, they had brought in all these priests of Baal. They had all sorts of ungodly worship going on in the temple. They had brought idols and foreign priests in to the very temple of God. Hezekiah cleaned that all out. And he brought the people back to worshiping the one God, the God of creation, the God of Israel. Now Josiah, several generations later, guess what happened? As usual, Israel gets straightened up and then they fall back into sin again. We see this time and again in what goes on in the life of Israel. You know, they'll get straightened up with God, and then a little while later they're step a little bit into sin, they step a little bit farther into sin. Next thing you know, they're just bathing in it. They're just living the full sinful lifestyle and just totally turning their backs on God. Now, this is very different from the way we live our lives today, right? In the church today? Not so much. It's exactly the same type of thing. Well, here we've got, a few generations later, we've got Josiah, who's there. And he said, they found the book of the law, and they say, you know what? We're not following what it says in here that we're supposed to do. We're not doing right by God. So Josiah cleans everything up. What we have here is Zephaniah coming. Now, there's some question. Is Zephaniah talking, preaching before Josiah cleans it up? Or is this coming after? And my word is, that I have here, it really doesn't matter. Because either way, what Zephaniah is bringing up during the reign of Josiah is that the people aren't doing it. Even if they might have cleaned up out front, they're still allowing a little bit to sneak in the back door. Some of this is called syncretism. Syncretism. See, I can speak really well if I try hard. Now, what is syncretism? That's where you take one religion and you add parts of another religion to it. Just kind of add stuff to it. Makes it more acceptable, easier to go. This is something that Islam does quite a bit. We have the faith of Allah. Well, you know what? You believe in this and that. We'll just kind of tack it on in here, and that's okay. As long as Allah is the highest, okay, you're good to go. In the Christian church, we're not supposed to do that. In Judaism, not supposed to do that. We have the Word of God, which outlines this is what we're supposed to worship. If it doesn't say it in here, we're not supposed to do it. We're not supposed to give anybody worship except God. End of story. Not God and get worship, but just God. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God. The Trinity, the three in one, that's it. Nobody else. We're not supposed to add Buddha. We're not supposed to add somebody's three-toed goat. I don't even know if there is such a thing, but I'm sure somebody would worship it if there was. And syncretism had moved in a little bit. What they'd done is they had started adding some little ball stuff. We're gonna do a little star worship. Because these were the various religions from around. And so you had some people who were I go to temple on the Sabbath. And after I'm done with temple, then I go over and I give another go over and visit the temple prostitute over here. Just in case, I want to make sure I got all my bases covered. See, they had this cafeteria-style mentality of, let's take what I like, kind of make my own God, my own religion. That doesn't sound like what we do today, does it? This is so much exactly like our society today. What was going on then is going on here today in the United States. It's going on here in our community. It might be going on in some of our lives. That's the question that we want to look at today. Have you allowed something not of God to infringe upon what is rightly and solely God's? That is our worship. They allowed other gods to come in. They allowed stuff to come in. Some of them just didn't even bother worshiping. They got complacent about God. God wouldn't allow things that are really bad to happen. Yeah, and He's not going to do anything really good either. You know, God's just kind of like out there and He doesn't really interact with us. You ever hear that line? Hear that theology preached? You know, there may have been a creator God, but He doesn't interact with us anymore. He's just, if anything, He's kind of forgotten about us. Well, that's just not the way it works. That's not the truth. That's the, quote, wisdom, unquote, of man. Guess what? We're not so wise. Because we have the word from Zephaniah here showing us that God's going to bring judgment against that. People, when we do this, when we have this in our lives, it impacts us. See, those who are kind of complacent about God, don't care about God, He likens them to the dregs of the wine, the last of the wine that is... That the way they took wine, they would... they'd make the wine and then you'd get the sediment dropped to the bottom and they'd pour off the best of it and you'd have the worst stuff back. Well, if you just kept wine in there with the nasty stuff in the bottom, the wine itself got kind of nasty. Those are the dregs, and said, you're going to be like that. Because as you hang out with nasty, guess what happens? You become nasty. Who'd have thought it? That's kind of new and interesting, isn't it? But, well, it's not all that new. Zephaniah was talking about it right here. But it's exactly what goes on. We kind of think, you know, well, I can go there and not be impacted. You know, I can go and interact and have close association with that which is not of God, and it won't impact me. Guess what? It does impact you. It impacts each of us. What we do, who we're with, how we do it. Now, does this mean, well, I need to be set apart? I can't go witness to those who are unchristian because those non-Christians, you know, well, they don't worship God, so that'll make me not worship. No, no. If we're doing God's work in God's authority, in God's power, under the direction of God's Holy Spirit, then we're okay. It's called putting on the armor of God. We talk about that. Working in God's strength, we're okay there. It's when I try to do something in my strength that I'm in trouble. When I try to do something without putting on the armor of God, then I better look out. But I just go about doing what I want to do, irregardless of what it is God has directed me to do, then I'm in trouble. Now, you know what we call that? Disobedience. Another word for disobedience, rebellion. Another word for rebellion, sin. I just didn't do what God told me to do. How's that sin? It is. Well, how about, you know, well, I'm just trying to cover all my bases. You know, God, you know, Jehovah might just, you know, I'm not so sure that Buddha doesn't have some truth there. Maybe I should, you know, go light a little incense stick over there. What do you think? No! That's worshiping more than just one God. That's paganism. That's sin. You are who you worship. If you don't worship anybody, you're in rebellion against God. If you worship anybody other than God, you're in rebellion against God. If you worship anybody other than God, you're in sin. If you allow anything into that place to take up that space that is supposed to be God's, we've entered into sin. My encouragement to you this morning is do some self-examination. Are you allowing anything to sneak in? Are you trying to add a little bit of something that's not Christian to your Christian faith to make it more palatable? To make it more inclusive? Those are, you know, I don't want to be exclusive. God isn't exclusive. He's as inclusive as they come. But He does have one rule. Obey me. That's it. Do what God says. All the rest falls under that heading. He says, worship only me. There are no other gods before me. Are we putting anything in front of God? If we are, people, we're blowing it. There's judgment to coming. Zephaniah speaks of that day. That day he is the day of judgment. We're just not talking Israel receiving judgment. We're talking about the world receiving judgment. He makes it plain. He's not just talking about Judah. He's talking about all of creation. This is the final day that he's talking about. And he says, judgment will come. And the Lord will examine us. And if he's not truly our Lord and Savior, if we aren't worshiping him and doing what it is that he's told us to do, then we're in the other camp. There's only two camps. God is gracious, God is loving, and we can repent at any time, turn from our sin and turn towards Christ. He'll forgive us, He'll receive us, He'll wash us clean of that. He'll forgive us of it. But what He won't do is wink a blind eye at it as we continue in our sin. That He won't do, particularly not on the Day of Judgment. Now, when is the Day of Judgment, you might ask? I don't know. It could be now. So we best be ready at any time, not thinking that we got time to get ready later. See, this is the thing. Is so many of us, we get completely, you know, I'll get straight with God before, you know, I go to heaven. And before I die and have to face that judgment, you know, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing now, and later I'll get things straightened out with big man upstairs and we'll be good. People don't do that. There isn't one of us that knows when we're going to check out, when God's going to call us back. I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but I could have died yesterday on that motorcycle coming home. Of course, I could have died this morning in the shower. So we all have our personal judgment, right? But as a world, when is that day coming? I don't know, but it could be at any time. And we need to live as if it's going to be today or tomorrow. Not living as if it's sometime 100 or 1,000 years down the road. It might be that long. I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't know. What I do know is that we've been instructed to worship God alone. And He's going to hold us accountable to that. So examine your life. Say, Lord, am I doing what it is You've told us to do? Am I truly following You? Jesus paid the price. But God still asks us, still commands us to follow Him and Him alone. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You that You encourage us to follow You each and every day. That You just don't give us the instruction to do it, but You provide us the means to do so. The indwelling Holy Spirit, the self-same power that raised Christ from the dead, that You have that available to us if we will just lean on You instead of trying to do it ourselves. Lord, we can't do it. We can't get there in our own righteousness. We can't work our way to salvation. All we can do is lean on You. Help us to lean on You and You alone. Might we truly put our trust there. Lord, help us to be vigilant as we examine our lives daily to see that nothing of the enemy sneaks in and tries to take over the place that is Yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we're going to be singing, There's Something About That Name.